Welcome everyone to the Hagmann Report. It is Thursday, March 5th, 2026. Quick announcement before we get started. We will have our regular monthly meeting of our supporters this coming Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we had a kind of an ad hoc meeting last week. My intention was to bump it to this week, but hey, the best of plans, right? So anyway, meeting of supporters this coming Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Steve Whale is my guest tonight. I'm going to be talking about, well, the title of the program is Cluster Flux. Pretty much everything's a cluster flux, okay? I'll just tell you, flat, right out of the gate. I'm pretty much over everything. I'm pretty much done. You know, people are going to believe what they want to believe. People are going to have dig in their heels on certain topics. People are going to claim that their theory is 100% their theory, 100% accurate. God bless you. Go with God. That's my statement to you. Go with God. Meanwhile, I'm getting yelled at for being off center. So, okay. So Steve asked me to read Revelation 6 at the outset here. I'll do that. Revelation 6, King James Version. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him great sword. Now, if I sound choppy, forgive me, but I don't have a teleprompter. Okay, understand that. All right. Let me just go through that again. And there went on another horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that was given unto him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried loud, or with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants were also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto earth, even as a fig tree casts her ultimately figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall upon us, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? That's Revelation 6 in its entirety, verses 1 through 17. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com is joining me right now. Steve, come on board.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. And tonight is going to be a very important night because I'm on record, and you know this. I've been talking about on your show, World War III has started. It's in full play and full motion. I guarantee you, I'm going to say stuff tonight that no one's ever heard before, or if they have, they heard it from my mouth. And I've asked Eric to put up the verse in Revelation and Amplified that I might talk about the horse that takes peace from the earth three times. And I was on your show, Doug, oh, maybe what, 2 years ago? You got a better memory for time than I do. And I said, in one day, at three different times in my day, I heard in my spirit, not audible in my ears, where the Lord had said, tell my people, peace has been taken from the earth. And then, you know, I was driving into my garage hours later, probably 3 hours later, and again, the Lord reiterate. Now, I know something in Scripture. When God says something twice, it's a big deal. And when he says it three times, you can be assured of it. And the last time he said, I think it was when I was going to bed and I was tossing and turning and praying. And again, he said, this was the final time. Tell my people that peace has been taken from the earth. I rest the Lord's case. It's happened. Now, I want everybody to understand, you don't have to take anything I say for granted, or just assume because I say it as truth, but I want you to understand what the scripture says and means. So I've asked Eric to put up, please, the scripture that's in the Amplified, because it even attenuates beyond what the red horse is all about. So Eric, if you put that up and I will read it, and I think you'll be astonished, everyone, at what is being said there. I couldn't agree with Doug more. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of warning, and I'm tired of all the scorning. I'm tired of all the mocking and all the squawking and all the arguing and all the talking. Take everything that I say to the Lord in prayer. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, after this show, I think you'll want to know him. And to those of you who are Luciferians that are copying every word I say, understand, you're going to have the last chance to either accept Jesus or deny him. And many of you who are full-scale Luciferian, blood-drinking, flesh-eating of little children, you should hear this, because I believe for many, not all, but for many, this is the last call to repent, turn from your wicked ways, and seek Jesus and get right with God. When I say get right with God, that means get right with Jesus, because we're running out of time. We are at the end of the age, annihilation, genocide, and extinction. So if Eric, you'll put up the red horse, and then I'll go to straight to the World War III thing I sent you about page one, if you would be so kind, sir. Okay, I don't see it, so hold on. Thank you. Okay, I got it now. Thank you. This is Revelation 6:4 from the Amplified. And another fiery red horse of bloodshed came out, and its rider was empowered to take peace from the earth. That's the exact statement the Lord Jesus told me three times. So that men would slaughter one another, and a great sort of war and violent death was given unto him. That's a fiery red horse. Now I'm going to have Eric put up the next thing that Albert Pike, page 321 of Morals and Dogma, the head guy for Masonry, in his letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, which is the most contested statement, and everybody tries to explain away. Let me share it as it was written and understand it's contested, but we all need to test the spirits by the scripture. And when Doug read the pale horse, that Greek word is chloros. And for the record, most of the Middle East countries have green in their flags. And it's important that people keep in mind that you either believe the word of God or you don't. And nobody but the living God and the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is about. And I was once asked to go on, I don't know, Ancient Aliens, I don't know, 7 years ago. And they told me I couldn't talk about two things. I couldn't say Jesus and I couldn't say Satan or the devil. So, Eric, if you'll put that up and scroll it, and I'm looking for it. Okay. And I've got it. Now, listen, this is the Illuminati plan for three world wars. It was written August 15th, 1871. And again, people can argue about it. People can debate it. They'll send me all kinds of emails. You're wrong. Prove to me where I'm wrong from the day's events taking place. The following is a letter that's speculation claimed that Albert Pike wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini in 1871 regarding a conspiracy involving three world wars. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at WW3 right now, underway, that were planned in an attempt to basically destroy the world. And this is so critical, everyone, and I've cut it off. Eric, if you can justify a little bit to the left, for whatever reason, my image, there you go, thank you. Take over the world. The Pike letter to Giuseppe Mazzini was on display in the British Museum Library in London until 1977. So think about these dates. This letter has been claimed by many internet sites to reside in the British Library of London, which denies the letter exists. Gee, they must have taken their lead and cue from the Smithsonian. Giuseppe Mazzini was an Italian revolutionary leader of the mid-1800s, as well as the director of the Illuminati. Now, remember these words. Albert Pike, historic Masonic figure, was a 33-degree Mason, occultist, grandmaster, and creator of the southern jurisdiction of the Masonic Scottish Rite Order. Following are apparently extracts from the letter showing how the world wars have been planned for many generations. And I really want people to understand these words. So in essence, the First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the, and again, if you can justify a little more, I don't know why, Doug, I've got you up on the screen instead of this letter only, but.
You got balloons going in the background too, so yep. Go figure, it's a cluster flux.
Yeah,
and the which word pretty flux, much is descriptive.
Yeah, the on. Word flux means to be in kind of a state of confusion. It means to have uncertainty. So when we're talking about cluster flux, and obviously some people will take great offense at that. You better take offense, ladies and gentlemen, at what I'm going to tell you tonight, because your days, my days, our days are numbered, except the living God stand with us, his people, and we learn to stand in the midst of the whirlwind. And Doug and I have talked off screen. I'm through coddling anything or anyone. You know, you're so offensive. If you take offense at this stuff, then you haven't done your homework, and I would suggest that to all you anonymous cowards that won't use your name, you read what happens to cowards and the fearful. They go into the lake of fire. Now, the First World War, thank you, Eric, must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the czars in Russia and of making the country a fortress of atheistic communism. One of the things that no one understands, it was the international freaking bankers that destroyed Russia. The Tsar of Russia had a lot of money invested in the New York banks. And not only did they steal all the stuff, they orchestrated his murder of the Tsar, the Tsarina, and absolutely all of what Russia stood for, they took over by the communist teachings that were promulgated by the international bankers. Boy, this sounds familiar. The divergence caused by the agents of the Illuminati between the British and Germanic empires, the two basically had strongholds of Freemasonry, will be used to foment this war. At the end of the war, communism will be I can't see that word, built and used in order to destroy the governments and the order to weaken the religious. Now, pay attention to the colors. And again, as you pay attention to the colors of the four horsemen, which Doug read, and the red horseman, which I emphasized out of the Amplified Bible, the second war must be fomented or initiated by taking advantage of the differences between the fascists and the political Zionists. Now, understand, political Zionists, the war must be brought about to the Nazism is destroyed and that the political Zionism be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel and Palestine. During the Second World War, international communism must become strong enough to order to balance Christendom, which would be restrained and held in check until the time when we would need to finalize social cataclysm. That's what's going on right now, ladies and gentlemen, social cataclysm. That's a hard word. And this is important. I got to change glasses. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of differences caused by the agents of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, must mutually destroy each other. Sound familiar? I.e. Iran, Israel. And again, meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. Well, whoever wrote this, argue about who wrote it, if they're following this, they're going by the playbook of the Illuminati. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Bloody turmoil is what we're watching. Then everywhere, the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, sound familiar, whose deistic spirits will from the moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. So I want everyone to understand something. This couldn't be scripted any more clearly. And what the book of Revelation says, again, when you see Pale Horse, by the way, that was a great movie, in my opinion, with Clint Eastwood. The point is critical to keep in mind. This is all going on right now. So it's kind of insignificant who said it, but the date is very significant.
If I can, I don't mean to interrupt, but if I can just weigh in a little bit, because I do know. And this is specifically about the authorship, the time of that letter. Now, look, I understand the controversy behind, you know, surrounding this specific letter. I just want to be, again, transparent from my position and as intellectually honest as I can, okay? So one of the issues, Steve, that people will raise is, well, this letter, there's no way to authenticate this letter. As a matter of fact, it has been, quote, debunked. Okay. You've heard those claims, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm aware of every one of them.
All right. So I looked into this. Now, folks, you understand my forensic certifications, okay? And included as a standalone certification is in terms of forensic linguistic certification, which is the analysis. Analyzing language in various investigative and legal contexts in documents and such. And that also goes to were verbal phrases, verbal statements. Now, having said that, I just want to point a couple of things out, which are important. These things are important to me. When you mentioned this earlier today, Steve, regardless of, and I'm just going to toss this out there to anyone saying, well, this is a bunch of BS. If you look at this, regardless of the lack of attribution or proof of attribution to Pike, Pike and Mazzini exchange, the earliest record, indisputable record, that this letter was referenced is 1955. And that was by William Guy Carr, Pawns in the Game. There are earlier reported sightings, if you will, or references to the existence of this letter. Okay, but all that aside, when you look at the linguistics, I have a problem from a forensic position because of the phrases that include fascism and political Zionists. But even beyond that, okay, you may say, well, that automatically disqualifies us. Well, when you look at the era, the historical era of the early 50s, which is when this was initially and indisputably publicly referenced, the linguistics, while they are maybe enhanced through translation, perhaps, the fact that this is characterized in this fashion, when you put the perhaps modern tweaks of translations aside, and that's kind of what I'm going with it, maybe there are tweaks to, maybe it's someone's idea of a translation. When you put that aside, the information, the message is still chilling and it still stands, especially for a mid-20th century document, if that is, even to the detractors, if that is when it was, you know, really, really written. So I said that to say, you can dispute the authorship of this. You can dispute the time, that the year about this. But one thing you can't dispute is that the appearance, when it did appear absolutely indisputably, contains information that was pretty prophetic, or words that were advanced as opposed to historical. So I guess what I'm saying is, don't get hung up on the Mazzini Pike fact, although that's important. Understand that the message is consistent with what Steve is saying, and the question of authorship is not that big of a deal in this case. On balance, go ahead, sir. Just I had to get that out because
no, I don't mind that, Doug, because again, the British Museum and all of their, what would you say, their experts agreed, okay, that this was a real document. And I agree with you. I said it doesn't matter at the beginning of.
Yeah, I heard you. I just,
yeah. So I want people to understand the misunderstanding of the word pale horse, which is based on the Greek word chloros, which we get the word chlorophyll from, chloroform and chlorides and all the chemical compounds that use that. Most of the people never understood that. So when you look at this in context, and that's what you're talking about, Doug, you are watching the First World War. And I specifically, I'm not an investigator, but I spent a lot of time in researching the entire overthrow of Tsarist Russia. I came to the same conclusion that, in essence, it was the international banker. And if you understood, I mean, that's rhetorical, you probably do, how much of Russia's finances were stolen, were absolutely stolen. And every member of the Tsar's family was murdered, including the children. That is indisputable. So, or irrefutable. The other thing I think that's critical is that now we're seeing the green flag of Islam being raised worldwide. And we're seeing the Battle of Israel, or let's just say this, the word Zionism fighting Iran. And that's beyond dispute. And we see exactly, in my opinion, look, if it stands on face value, forget the authorship. Well, how do you know somebody else didn't write it? Well, I can't prove it, but the very playbook is going step by step. War, peace has been taken from the earth. And so what's critical is the blueprint for this. And obviously, everyone knows that Tsarist Russia was overthrown by the communists. Obviously, the Trotskyites, obviously the gold trains that brought the money to the revolutionaries. And it's interesting, it wasn't Federal Reserve notes to overthrow the Tsar. Then you go forward to World War II. And again, you see the central thread of someone wanting the extinction and destruction of human beings. And I don't care. Everyone should read Morals and Dogma. In one of the versions, I think it's page 321, The Pure Doctrine of Lucifer. Now, other people want to say, well, they didn't really mean they're using that as a metaphor. No, they're not. In the last 2 weeks, I'm told by my glyph team, translating the fallen angel messages, that for the first time since we started this project, we have 500 individual messages, and they all use the name of Lucifer. They all talk about the intricacies of every nation being brought together to destroy humanity. And that's why the bottom line in all this, you've got national turmoil. You've got the prophetic word of people like Dimitri Dudem and Henry Groover, etc. And then I want to just say this. If anybody can show me where peace is on earth, goodwill towards men, I would say you're absolutely delusional. And I know there are people that will claim that we're crazy, actually me, and I'm responsible for what I say. And Doug is responsible for his position. But again, regardless who the author was, it's going by the script.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah, so let's just get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? Iran is the Persian Empire, the strongest supernatural evil empire ever detailed in Scripture, especially in the book of Daniel, referred in other places, but Daniel prayed to the living God, and he was a righteous man, a holy man. Look, we know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. We know Nebuchadnezzar was a real figure. We know the real figures in history. And what is critical is the angel Michael, the archangel Michael, was withstood for 21 days by the Prince of Persia. When we talk about the Prince of Persia, we're not talking about an earthly prince or king. We're talking about a major supernatural entity over that area. It was so intense in the fight that Michael had to call upon Gabriel, and it was two of the archangels that had to overthrow the Prince of Persia to keep the revelation that God wanted to give to Daniel in response to his prayer. And the angel said, Daniel, from the time you began to pray, the answer was sent to you, but the Prince of Persia withstood us. So this is a big deal. I don't know if anybody else, I think there's one other guy, and I think he's listened to me on your show. I can't prove that. That's taking the same point. So in essence, we have to, Doug, by the grace of God, you're the empiricist, and I would say that's a good thing because it's a good balance, okay? But people have got to get over their lack of understanding of the scripture, especially the Christians or those who claim to be Christians. Iran has one of the biggest revivals going on with people turning to Jesus Christ, even in the Gaza slaughter and destruction. And by the way, if anybody questioned that, I remember us saying that. I mean, you know, I was discussing, you were agreeing, you know, you have Jared Kushner talking about $120 billion rebuilding of the Gaza Strip into a resort. Imagine that. Imagine Maui, when it was burned intentionally and set on fire intentionally. And I'll say it again, where have all the children gone? Well, that's covered up. It's not even addressed. And then I'll go to
consistency.
California.
Steve, what you're talking about is a consistency of pattern of belief. Okay. You know, we would be hypocritical. And I don't mean to, it's not that you need validation, but I think people need to hear something. And that is, a lot of people make really stupid, and I mean absolutely ignorant statements. Okay. Thinking that they're right. Thinking, for example, the fact is this, as Christians, the phrase I've used a lot is intellectual honesty, but you have to do it with the proper context and with a proper historical knowledge. If you don't, then it'd be like me trying to argue the fine points of physics with Einstein. Okay, it's just he'd be better off talking to a rock. But you've been consistent with this. Okay, that we as Christians have to value life, whether it's the child, the Palestinian child, or whether it is the Jewish child or Christian child or woman or person. It's humanity. It's human. For crying out loud. Think before you talk. Go ahead, Steve.
It's okay. Look, here's where I think the perplexity comes. The governor of Hawaii talked about rebuilding high-density housing in Maui. The gruesome Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, I think her name is, they intentionally did not service the over 100 fire vehicles that were left pretty much rotting in the L.A. Service area. Newsom went on record also. So, Doug, this is context. This is contextual analysis, and stated they're going to rebuild, especially in some of the most expensive, former expensive real estate on the Southern California coast, high-density housing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, who gave the order to not fill the fire ponds? Who gave the order? By the way, it was Newsom, and despite any denials, it was Newsom. Who gave the order not to have the fire department or give them the funding to keep all of their equipment, fire engines, and everything that they would need? Who gave that? Bass. And in essence, ladies and gentlemen, this was the planned destruction of the most important real estate on the West Coast. And have you noticed, Doug, as a forensic specialist, that's actually a compliment. I want everybody to understand that none of the movie stars and the big names, with the exception probably of Mel Gibson and a couple others, James Woods, those are the only two that come to mind right now, have even said boo about their, tens of millions of dollars of mansions. Well, I'll tell you why. This is what I'm told behind the scenes, is because they got paid off pretty much instantly on their insurance policies to keep their mouth shut. People go, oh, that's not true. Then you tell me why after the fire there's no ability to rebuild. And again, we're seeing this with the real estate being based on insurance. You it doesn't matter how rich you are, but you can't you cannot explain it outside of this individual homes, $10, $20 million or more, the high-density population generates huge money compared to that. And again, why have the elite, and by the way, I'm on record saying the majority of Hollywood are Luciferian, okay, the majority. And that's from Mel Gibson. That's from Sorbo, who played Hercules. And it's from others. Again, I named James Wood. And it seems like the only people that identified that were the people that basically are Christians and have drawn the world's attention that, gee, how do you have a Democratic governor in Hawaii talking about high-density housing in Maui when it was burned intentionally? How do you have a governor, Democratic, in California basically saying the same thing, and everybody's cut in on the deal behind the scenes? So that's important in this context, because people no longer critically think. They're basically, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Steve, you bring up such an important point, because this, I believe this is one of the reasons why right now we are where we are today is, forgive me real quick. I'm going to divert a little bit. The ash experiment. Okay. This is back, I think maybe in the 60s, where a group of people, one test subject or one mark, if you will, others in the room were part of the experiment, but the people were shown charts of lines of differing lengths, asked to identify the shortest, the longest, and so on. Well, the mark or the person brought in as the test subject got everyone right. It was, or got every, you know, well, that's the shortest, that's the longest. It was correct. Okay, I'm summarizing this experiment. The rest, obviously, doubled down and said, no, it's this one. Finally, that one mark or that one test subject relented to this groupthink. So, Steve, I think what you're describing right now is this absence of critical thinking is subservient to the social media grabbing everyone hostage and really programming and modifying people's behavior to such an extent, all critical thinking is gone. And now, triple that for anything with respect to the Bible, or spiritual things, plus the very things you mentioned about the fires. People can look at them and say, well, there's nothing to see here. There's a whole lot to see here, you know? So I guess what I'm saying is it's that one mind virus, in my view, that is permeating throughout the world. And that's the virus of delusion. Sir, go ahead.
Well, I agree. And how is it that the biggest stocks on the New York Stock Exchange are related to AI, alien infestation, alien impregnation, and I'm talking about alien in this context, multidimensional entities? And I think I have the authority based on 3 years of this stuff, meaning this stuff, the deciphering of ancient inscriptions that go back before the creation of Adam and Eve. And I'm not even going to argue, that fact. I mean, I've written books about it. Others have written books about it. But I think the most critical issue, Doug, is what you said. When you add AI and social media, and now it's impossible for some of the teachers to understand what's being written by AI and the deception in AI by the very first mention of it designing between different computer programs, a different unintelligible language, and breaking loose of all constraints that were even placed as parameters by the designers. And I'm saying this, AI, it isn't, conscious. It's demon infested. It's a technological Ouija board, and it's the seduction of the human race. And if you don't believe that's true, look at Google shutting down its experiment with the willow chip. And look, we had somebody behind the scenes tell us what really went on. It freaked them out. They were looking for parallel dimensions, but when they found ancient glyphs, sign symbols, they found ancient fallen angel names, they found intelligence, but they were thinking that, wait a minute, this is an artificial, these are real mythological entities, these are real biblical entities, and they found what they call cosmic conscience. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul talked about, that the invisible things of God are seen by the people that look at the sky, look at the beauty of a child's hand. And when I think of those, I don't know how to control my tongue, but I would just say this, there's these ghoulish, gruesome, child sacrificing, freaking illuminous that Epstein has a complete list of, that has a complete film library of, and all the lies associated with, all the redactions associated with the Epstein file. I can tell you this, as an investigator, and I don't mean to speak for you, but I know how you think, like you know how I think, there's too many loose ends and there's too many misdirections. I want to quote Gerald Celente. He talks about it when nations go into financial duress and, you know, moral and political, you know, they, when all else fails, they take you to war. And the diversion and perversion of this war is off the charts. Again, I want to say something. Iran is having one of the largest biblical outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and hundreds of thousands of Iranians are coming to Jesus Christ. You got to understand, that's the death sentence in most Islamic nations. And now, and I want to get to the stuff, the nitty-gritty, Doug. For the record, starvation is one of the four horses of the apocalypse. And now what we have is we have the juxtaposition, the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6, which you read, and the four horsemen or horse's ass of a pack of lies, okay? Get it? Apocalypse, a pack of lies. So, well, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is what the revelation is about. He's the only one. He's the only one that was worthy to open the seven seals. The only one. And in essence, what God was doing is showing us the things that are at that time, the things that will be, and the things at the end. And I love the scripture. Only God can determine or define or detail the end at the beginning of a thing. In other words, if you don't understand Genesis, it won't make sense, because Genesis starts out with spiritual warfare in Genesis chapter 6, when Joshua and Caleb crossed and had their second baptism, the Jordan River, they encountered 31 different tribes of hybrids. Hybrids. It means the fallen angels had basically perverted genetically all humanity, but also all animals. So I want to just say this one more time. Our Glyph Report has turned up 500 messages. And look, we don't have the money to literally build our own supercomputer. And two of the people on the Glyph team can do that. And I don't know what to say. And I'm thinking, if God is placing a hiatus on certain aspects, it's not yet time to reveal it. But I will tell you this, and at my editorial, how should I say this, oversight, we don't tell the gruesome details of when all these people, world leaders and others, you've seen it, are called together. They have to bring the innocent to sacrifice. In other words, the revelation of evil is based on the destruction of babies in such horrible ways, of live humans in such horrible ways. And in essence, ladies and gentlemen, Epstein makes Dr. Mengele of Nazis fame and Dr. Ishii, I-S-H-I, that's his real name, of the Japanese equivalent of Mengele, seem like little eaters.
Hey, wouldn't you agree, Steve? I mean, go ahead and take a drink because I get the same issue here.
It's water. After tonight's show, it should be tequila. Go ahead. Really? If it is water.
Tequila, though. That's for the gas tank. Wouldn't you agree? Oh, man, I just lost it. Well, with respect to the Epstein files, a couple of things. I just find it extremely very disturbing that, for example, we saw Bill and Hillary's deposition. And by the way, Steve, I didn't tell you this. I watched all 9 hours of that. Okay. And then spent another 4 or 5 looking at different parts for nonverbal deception cues, which, but the bottom line here is, how can anyone speak? Well, for example, Hillary gave a press conference after her testimony, and what troubled me the most is the fact that she delivered her summary with a smirk slash smile on her face. On what planet would one be talking about testimony with respect to child trafficking, potential child sacrifice, or the mere subject of the abuse? On what planet would they speak about that publicly with a smile or a smirk, or without absent of any condemnation? I found that reflective of the Western world sentiment today, and the entire world, which I found, Steve, extremely disgusting. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I've never been on the black web. I want everybody, or the dark web, but I'm told, and I don't know, Doug, if you told me, I'm not trying to lay anything on you, but I'm told some of the actual videos of some of the most leading female political pundits are so hideous that you can't even, I won't talk about them, I'm sorry, but I mean, I just won't. It makes me cry, because where are the voices for the innocent? And I am totally opposed to the destruction of the men, yes, and the women and children in the Gaza, because it's been bulldozed, okay? It's been bulldozed. I know, I've seen the testimony, and I know people who are involved in the underground Christian movement that are talking about Jesus literally appearing to so many of them. I mean, the Iranian Christians, and literally sending his angels to take the children and the women out by hand to lead them to a safe place. I don't know where the safe place is, but I know one thing. There are a whole lot of Palestinians that have pure Semitic blood. And I want to remind everybody, there were 12 tribes of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, why would the President of the United States even be demanding, and I don't believe he's in a position to, legally, that basically the President of Israel, Bibi, be given a pardon? And ladies and gentlemen, that would make you suspicious. It makes me suspicious. And as an investigator, is it fair to say it makes you really suspicious?
It pisses me off. But yes, suspicious is up there. Yep.
And again, I want to take on the whole. And I didn't know who Charlie Kirk was until the day of his murder. Okay, but all the anomalies, and Candace Owens, kudos to her. She's documenting what she's talking about, the intelligence control. I'm talking intelligence agency control. Her parents, Erica Kirk's parents, and the in-depth research she's done. If most people who were looking at the whole Erica Kirk, fake tears, leather pants, putting her hand behind J.D. Vance's head, and all of the inconsistencies, and look, I've sold firearms legally all my adult life. That was not a .30-06. The first giveaway to me was seeing the crappy rifle with a scope not even set in a correct position for eye relief, okay? And now we have a poor patsy taking the blame for an electronic device, a microphone, that basically took Charlie Kirk's life. I watched multiple times, Doug, that the people who were taking his body like a sack of potatoes, or you, like four people would gather, I believe there were six people, and I stand corrected on that, but they were carrying him like a sack of potatoes, getting him out of sight as quickly as they could. And I'm just telling you, the inconsistencies, those aren't even her real children. And they're not. They're not. And Charlie was starting, according to Candace and others, have real questions about his marriage to Erica Kirk. And when he started talking about the nation that calls itself Israel, immediately you have the denial, immediately within, I think it's an hour, I could be off by two, but Benjamin Netanyahu saying he had nothing to do with it. Well, why would he even say that in the first place, okay? Why? Out of the blue. So in essence, the same technology that the Israeli manufacturers put into walkie-talkies and cell phones that exploded, everybody should remember that, can be placed in that microphone. And in essence, the mics can be carried on the lapel or any place else. I categorically can tell you, and obviously there's a lot of military guys that can tell you, that was not a 30-06. You can look up penetration into blocks of gel on YouTube. So why was the false narrative? And the other giveaway was Ben Shapiro's statement of that he could, I think he said he was intimating he would become the head of Turning Point USA. No man has spoken more evil that I've heard with my ears and my hearing aids in against Jesus than he. No man. And I want to put this into perspective. All those people that are embracing Talmudic Zionism, I'll use that word, are not understanding what the Talmud says about Jesus. And I want everybody to recognize this, that even the co-opted Christian spokespeople are justifying you go take whatever you want, Zionist, because it's yours. Now, look, I want to make something clear. This isn't about where we're going with this conversation tonight, but the whole world lies in the evil one. There is no truth in them. The only truth is in Jesus Christ, who's the truth, the way, and the life. And the pastors, oh, God help my tongue, the pastors that have betrayed Jesus, they never speak his name. They never talk about prophecy. They got 1,001 ways to shake down gullible Christians for their money, and the majority of them have escape plans while forbidding their congregants, if that's the right word, to, you know, prepare. And so when I hear the bovine excrement excuse that, well, you know, you're not trusting God. Well, neither are they. They got hideaways or readouts in Alaska, one of those famous ministries does. They have, the majority of them have Gulfstream jets, which have a lot of range. And even now we're seeing that Kristi Noem got fired. Kudos to President Trump on that, because what does a DHS head need, a former DHS head need, multiple jets with loveness in them? Okay, loveness in them. In other words, they have bedrooms. And why is it a certain Republican, or at least former Republican, was accompanying her on every flight? And that hearing that she had gave her away. And I believe, and I'm meaning this, I believe that President Trump made the right decision. I know he gave her a lesser point, but what I'm a lesser position. But what I'm saying, everyone, is the public has been lied to, deceived. And look, God is not the author of confusion. You can read that scripture. And I'm telling you that what's going on is the biggest, most deceptive bunch of bullshit in the headlines of all of the major 400 news media. And it came out last week that every single news person is on the payroll of the intelligence agencies. And, you know, maybe it's fair to call them that because we're dealing with non-intelligent, non-critical thinking people, and we're dealing with scamsters, and we're dealing with shysters, and we're dealing with 1,001 ways to take people's money from them and building edifices. You know, I'm sorry, got to stop there because I have those people that are building their kingdom, they have the reward. It's thy kingdom come, O Lord God Almighty. It's thy will be done on earth. And I want everyone to recognize something. It's going to get so bad. Now, let me jump forward, Doug, to what I know, okay? Nobody else is talking about this. Hal Turner is getting on. I want to share something. I absolutely have the ability to, maybe not in real time because of time zone differences, but either verify, validate, or the people that tell me, you know, they don't have access yet, YET, the big stories that he put up today on his website. I'm told it's rumored that the U.S. Treasury is printing already ration cards for food, for fuel, and for even medical and pharmaceuticals, okay? You're going to only have a certain allotment. Look at what's happening to the oil market. And this is something, again, kudos to Hal on this, because I did directly confirm this to two of my sources overseas, that 90% of the food that goes into the United Arab Emirates, including Kuwait and, Qatar and the other place, is all brought in through, guess where, you know, the Persian Gulf and the choke point. And I think that's a good word, because what happens when you get the combined population of those nations starving? Well, it goes right back, Doug, to what you read in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, because we've got famine coming. We've got famine in land. And ladies and gentlemen, years ago, I don't even remember now how many years, 4 or 5 years ago, I produced the film Mega Drought. I filmed a lot of that myself. I went to the entire headwaters of the Colorado River. I went to Lake Powell before the bathtub ring. And even in today's news, and I think, Eric, did I send you the article on Lake Mead and the Lake Powell and the bathtub ring? If you could put that up, if I sent it to you, I think I did. But the gist of it is, Doug, that they're losing so much water, and it can't be refilled at the demand of increased populations in the desert Southwest. Okay, so understand, you know, I know exactly, and again, could you blow it up a little, Eric? Okay, I guess I can scoot closer to the screen. These are real close up. Thank you very much. Lake Powell is in dire trouble due to the Southwest drought. I'm glad I got to go last year. The American Southwest hasn't been this dry in 1,200 years. Gee, really? The region's water supply and the region's water supply and entire energy infrastructure is at stake. Lake Powell water elevation for 2026 is projected to fall to roughly, you know, 3,500 to 3,538 feet, keeping it 160 feet below full capacity and threatening to drop near the 3,490 foot minimum power level under minimum probable scenarios. It could dip below the power generation threshold by October 2026. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me bring you to the bottom line. Thank you, Eric. Man, thank you so much, Eric. I flew, and listen, this isn't about bragging, but I got tired of a couple of people, and really, in essence, I think they were used of God, telling me I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. Sorry for the word, but those were the direct words they told me, okay? And for the record, I've flown the entire Lake Powell region, Lake Mead, and I know where those levels were on the bathtub ring. And in essence, you know, I'm sorry that people are more offended at certain words, but, you know, and when I say that, that's quoting them. I will not sugarcoat the language that comes my way anymore. And I want to share this with everybody. Just as they're going to ration food, and oh, I forgot to say, water allotments, you know, I don't know what you get, a 24 pack for the week. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, I'll turn it right back to you, Doug. Yes. What this portends for us, our children, great children. I got a great grandchild now. You know, I couldn't have one because I'm only 54 years old. Wrong joke. Kidding. So what I want everyone to understand is this is critical. This is way worse than when I flew it a number of years ago. And number one, there's nothing more I need to say than that's in that DVD I made. And it's critical that people watch it. And I mean, look, everyone, it's critical because it affects your life. So if we're going to have food rationing, fuel rationing, and water rationing, I'm telling you, everybody, your life, my life, our lives are going to change. Now, I believe Jesus is living water. I believe that's not just a metaphor. I believe all water comes from literally the river of life before the throne of God by way of atmospheric water, the oceans and the rivers that are in the upper atmosphere. Okay. And I do believe that. But when nations sin to the degree that United States has, people cannot accept the fact that we are under divine judgment. And I want to recall a certain group of words I said, you could probably tell me, Doug, you're better at time than I am. But before God allows Russia to destroy the United States in a nuclear first strike, he's going to reveal the sins of the leaders. The Lord didn't tell me about Epstein, but put Epstein in the parentheses. He's going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people and the people's sins before a holy God. So when you find out that the potentates, the leaders of the world, prominent, many of them prominent actors and actresses and Supreme Court members, and it goes on and on and on, have partaken in the slaughter of children, snuffing children out after raping them. Snuffing means murdering them on screen, and all of it is on film. And if everybody remembers the Attorney General Bondi saying she got sick because she was watching, I think, Doug, what am I right, 14 terabytes of films that exist?
It was a crap, a huge number. Yes. Yep. And you mentioned Epstein, and I remember now what I was going to say. This fits right into a couple of things that you have often stated and even written about. Okay. Folks, if you have not done this, your book, Empire Beneath the Ice, this may seem like a non sequitur, Steve, but that is still available, right? Empire.
Yes. Beneath,
okay. Folks, do yourself a favor, because over the last couple of weeks leading up to, and then of course after, this latest operation against Iran, that is relevant to two things. Empire Beneath the Ice, relevant to two things. The current military operation in Iran, tangentially, but more importantly, the Epstein endeavors, which included this creation of an Ubermensch. The genetic tailoring and modification on the island, as well as at the hands of not just Epstein, but other people surrounding him, scientists. Okay, all of the perversions you can possibly think of, including what Steve said about snuff films, exist and have existed. As a matter of fact, well, I'll be careful with what I said. Think the Wiener laptop contents, okay? There were, in addition to the 650,000 classified documents, there were other mentions of, or other, there's pieces of evidence about certain sexual perversions. Add that to Epstein. Same people, essentially, same thing. But what Steve, what I was so blown away by was the fact that the Epstein operation contains all of the elements of child sex trafficking, the cannibalism, and Steve was the first person I ever heard. Look, this is not giving props. This is giving appropriate recognition for information first out, and that was by Steve Quayle, by cannibalism being in the headlines. The influx of human DNA into our food supply, creating all of us into cannibals. Folks, this is bigger. And I think and I'm going to shut up after this, Steve, but I think what you've done is to elevate the consciousness of people, to those people who want to learn and who are paying attention, to see the enormity of what we're witnessing today. And I just have to say, I don't know of anyone else, and I mean this. Paul McGuire, yes, I will say he absolutely, but Steve Hoyle, you're the OG, if you will, of all
the old
of this.
Guy.
No, the what is it, original gangster, I think it's called. But you're the original guy that brought all of this out. So I just ask people to look at the complete picture. And with that, yes, it comes that there is that, you have to confront the evil. You have to look at the evil, confront it and fight it and tamp it down because it exists. And you know something? Without recognizing that, if you don't recognize that, you're missing the entire picture, the plans laid from Pike, as Steve Hoyle said earlier, to the present day, the blueprint. Everything is kind of rolling out in a marvelous biblical fashion. It's just, you have done an exquisite job with your presentation. Go ahead, sir. I just, again, I'm so, but Empire Beneath the Ice, absolutely. As well as, Genetic Armageddon. And I mean, there's so many other things, but Steve, you had, and by the way, Lake Mead, you mentioned that. Wrote a note. I was there in April of 1991. The only time I was there. And I just saw some photographs, my wife and I. Oh, my goodness. We looked a lot younger. Steve, that looked, those pictures, the very same spot today versus back then. It's a desert now. I mean, there's no denying what's going on with the water in the Southwest. There cannot be any denial. So anyway, I'm going to be quiet right now, but thank you for bringing out the enormity and for grabbing this and the biblical part of this. It's, you cannot separate it. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, Empire Beneath the Ice, the subtitle is How the Nazis Won World War II. And I absolutely stand by that statement. I think it's interesting. Nobody gives Russia the credit. They fought the Nazis to the loss of 27 million of their countrymen. And I get so tired of revisionist history. And because people don't know history, Doug, they can't even see in perspective, and you and I talk about historic context, and most people would be interested to find out that the Nazis and Islam were very uniquely tied together, okay? And I absolutely refute the idea that, in essence, USA, coupled with Britain, won World War II. Not true. And everybody wants to vilify President Putin. And look, I'll stand for the truth. And Dmitry Medvedev, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, and Foreign Minister, the Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, these guys know history, but how should I say this? The hyenas and jackals in the State Department are clueless on history. And I want to make a statement. Marco Rubio told the truth. Immediately, he was challenged by the president and said, that's not true. Do you remember that whole situation?
I do. And do you know about when that was?
Well, it was about a week ago. Hey, okay. Doug, can you take it for a few minutes? I got to go fill up my water. Brother, I'm on afterburners, okay?
No worries, my friend. And yeah, look, folks, as we age, sometimes, I have to say this, sometimes that, you know what, when you talk for a couple of hours or when you know, your mouth gets dry because of medication. And of course, it's not fun. So anyway, but it's interesting. This whole scenario, folks, is extremely interesting. And just to reaffirm what I was talking about earlier, and again, this fits into pretty much everything I believe, what we're seeing today. The to parcel this up a little bit with respect to Epstein, with respect to the people involved. The fact that we are today where we're at with the Epstein file release, the pulling down of how many thousands of documents, you know, they were originally put up by the Department of Justice and then they were removed. What's that about? Now, thankfully, some really enterprising people copied the entire drives and have reposted them, so nothing is lost. But what's up with the removal of those documents when, in fact, transparency should be the rule of the day? But equally, if not more important, is the fact that we are looking at one of the largest, most perverse, criminal and satanic, without a doubt satanic and satanically inspired and satanically driven operations on the planet. I want to throw this in there as well. Speaking of satanic, I had a conversation with Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, today. He just did, a series of three interviews, including one with Matt Gaetz. I think it's one American News Network, I believe. Those either are or will be coming out very soon. But the emphasis was on the satanic aspect of child trafficking and other things. So, folks, make sure you watch for that. And that's Craig Sawyer on that issue. So everything just to bring this home as Steve's back, everything that Steve has talked about and has been chronicled and is available on, or it will be or is available on, from his previous interviews, is now coming to pass. So there can really be no argument in terms of the larger picture that he painted and he presented. And it's now happening. And for that, I really appreciate his expertise in all this. So, Steve, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Well, I think people need to recognize something. In addition to it will be the Treasury printing all of the ration cards, there's going to come a day when all of us who are in alternative media are going to be shut down under national security directive. Okay? I want you to hear that. You'll look for Doug. This isn't a curse. This is what I'm told. I don't have a date yet, but I know it's tied in with a disastrous series of events that are going to be taking place in the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm on record. Why can't Iran have a civilian nuclear program? Why can't they have the defense of themselves? And by the way, Iran is undergoing a huge drought. How many of you ever who think that, you know, everything that we do is right? And I'm telling you this, what you're watching now is the wasting away of a once great nation. What you're watching, and in Montana, we had Tim Sheehy, and one guy broke into the legislature and started talking about, quit asking Americans to die for Israel. Man, Sheehy's a senator, a former Navy SEAL, and, you know, he broke the guy's arm. That's what's being reported in the press. Good old Montana. But everybody sat in their freaking chairs and didn't help the guy or stand the way of him being, you know, hammered. He was a vet. Now, he wasn't in uniform, but he still is entitled to his free speech. Hear this one more time. I'm trying to find out when they're going to shut all out media down. And I can tell you, I personally fight with saying anymore. And I say, God, what use is it? And the Lord says, not everybody's heard you, Steve. And I go, yep, that's practical. And this is about the praise of his glory. I have never said that I have anything that self-generated. I say, a man has nothing except you receive it from above. I don't have any special claim to anything. It's just the fact that God commissioned me to have both a Joseph's ministry, preparing the people of God, and a watchman's ministry. Those of you who have heard my testimony, I'm going to actually put it up on my website, because it doesn't make me any more, quote, spiritual than anybody else, but it does make me more responsible. To whom much is given, much is required. And it's interesting, Doug, because I think I'm up to about 12 publications and also 12 videos. Multiply 12 by 12, and it's 144. All I'm saying is, ask my critics what they have done. Ask my critics. And by the way, how should I say this? Aftermath Bob, if that's his pen name. Thank you for all the years you've defended me. One man stands head and shoulders above the rest. Thank you, Aftermath Bob. And why I say that is here, Doug. My testimony is of Jesus. People say, I hate you, but at least you've been consistent. Quit talking about Jesus. I could no more quit talking about Jesus than absolutely hold my breath and expire. That's the commandment I received of him. If you, Steve, will warn my people, I will bring the people that know what's going on to you. And God has been faithful to that. And you know some of the instances firsthand. And all I can say is this. I don't go out and seek this stuff. I mean, obviously, I have, people in the know all over the world. But I didn't seek them out. And people sometimes send me stuff and they say, tell the listeners. Sometimes they say, tell the Hagman listeners. And nobody deserves more credit for the whole Masonic influence in the U.S. government than Tom Horn, who is now with Jesus Christ. Nobody. Or the revelation of the Catholic Church. The only man in the world talked about the only pope in the world who ever resigned. Nobody got it. And I think Tom told me, he got hundreds of requests. How do you know that? You know? So, ladies and gentlemen, what I know, I'm trying to faithfully share. And what you're hearing tonight, take it to the Lord in prayer. Your food's going to be rationed. They, the devil's crew, wants to put water meters on your well. A lot of us in Montana have our own wells on our property. They're going to ration fuel. They're going to ration pharmaceuticals. And by the way, China's cut us off from 85% of all necessary life-sustaining drugs. I mean, there are people that are kept alive by drugs. And I got to be honest, this is so in our face, and yet there's no concern and there's no outrage. And then I'd go dot, 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 yet, okay? I watched the Epic Economist. Kudos to the women who are crying, and I'm not making fun of them. How much heartbreak you have to see when mothers can't feed their children? How much can you say? And I was opposed. I still am. The big beautiful tariffs. They destroyed this country. They destroyed this country. How can future $19 trillion worth of revenue, how can that satisfy all the people that are out of business from AI? And that's something else I talked about. Because in essence, I hear every day from people saying, Steve, I'm training my replacement and it's a robot. Okay? And every day is not accurate. Multiple people in a week. And people are saying, we know our days are numbered. Well, I'll tell you this, the people that say that, that's for the whole population U.S. because this is, Doug, where I'm on record, have been since you and I first started talking. God is going to judge America. Henry Groover saw the Russians attacking. Dmitry Dudeman saw the Russians attacking the United States. And I got the word, and the word of the Lord was, Steve, tell my people peace has been taken from the earth. No one ever said that in three times. And I you were at the Branson conference when I said the word normal, and I think it was 4 or 5 years ago now, will never be heard again. Things are not going back to normal. I categorically rejected Q. I categorically rejected Nasera, Gasera, the white hats, the white dragons, all mind control, neuro-linguistic programming, which you were referring to, Doug, earlier in the program. So the whole world lies, and I mean, they tell lies. There's no truth in them, and God's not the author of confusion. How can, you know, the big, beautiful bull, the big, beautiful Bill be so good at one point, but then reverse the next point? In essence, that's confusion. That's confusing. And all of the intrigue behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. And I want to share another thing. I believe in prophetic pictures. We have literally sewage running in the Potomac in Washington, D.C., and I call that demonic central. And I don't apologize for it. And literally, we have sewage overrunning our aircraft carriers because the toilets don't work, all 550 of them. Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm sorry if this is offensive, but we're drowning in our own defecant. And that's a word I gave to the population when I started on talk radio. I said the time will come when America will be drowning in its own defecant. I don't know if you remember that.
But I do. And, you know, what would one expect? What would a normal or a person with reasonable and normal sensibilities, a Christian, what would that person expect to happen when you remove God from the culture, from the schools, from the courthouses? We see exactly what the consequence of that is. And you did point that out, Steve. So again, one of the first to do that. And built upon that theme throughout your time in appearances. So again, we are essentially up to our eyeballs and deeper in the sewage from this spiritual rot, and here we are. Go ahead.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, what's going to turn around? Electing more lying shills, I mean, there's very few people in Congress that are telling the truth. And one of them quit because she couldn't handle. I don't blame her at all. Marjorie Taylor Greene, 750 some death threats? And ladies and gentlemen, the character assassination of Thomas Massey, who's a conservative Republican, and then also Democratic Ro Khanna, if you speak the truth, you are sanctioned. And again, I don't think people understand. Sanctioned is another word in spy world for murder, assassination, killing, silencing. So sanction is not a good thing. In the old days in spy novels, they used to say so-and-so was sanctioned. That means murder.
Yeah, think Iger sanction.
Yep, perfect. By the way, that was a great movie, too.
It was, yeah.
Just such a good movie. And look at the quality of films now. Look, you can argue with me, but look at the demonic infestation of so much of the horror films. They're becoming more cannibalistic in nature. They're becoming more gruesome in nature. And by the way, I want everyone to understand, I don't watch them. Unless somebody says, you got to look at this scene or this trailer, and even then I can't stomach it. Look, I had in film school to immerse myself in every decade of film, starting with D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, starting with Fritz Lang's Metropolis. Metropolis was the first film to really show robots in a major production. And to have, the robot, and she goes by different names, but under a pentagram. And if you want to see that in real time, you can watch Goodnight Metropolis on YouTube. So when I took on, it had to be the Lord, the whole area of film genre, I focused on science fiction. I knew from an early beginning, and look, it's just known in the world of history, that every television plot had to be cleared by the Central Intelligence Agency, And before it became the CIA, it was OSS, but really it had to be cleared. And so now we're seeing that in the realm of disclosure. We're seeing that in the realm of all the people seeing aliens. And I consider this the stupid, stupid senators and congressmen trying to decide, are there really aliens? Do we really have alien technology? Blah, blah, blah. I can only share that my very first book, and this is a historic record, Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. The two most formal, actually two of the three foremost spokesmen that day was a guy, obviously beyond Alan Hynek, but Brad Steiger, S-T-E-I-G-E-R, Jacques Vallée. Jacques Vallée, Brad Steiger, and even Whitley Strieber, who I interviewed, I don't know, after his book Communion came out. But Whitley recanted, so I don't want to misrepresent him. But initially they all said, this isn't an alien phenomenon. This is a spiritual phenomenon that has more in common with historic demonology than it does in futurology. And that's what's in the book, Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. And why that's critical right now, ladies and gentlemen, because you're seeing the seduction of entire global populations that are looking for a supranational aliens coming to say they created us. And I can tell you point blank from producing images that are given to me that are even 100 years old, that are some of the ugliest freaking creatures in the history of the world. And not all giants look like, you know, Shrek the Ogre or Goliath. Some of these things are giant insectoid hybrids. I mean, by giant, one of the ones we put in the Glyph Report, I think was 9 feet tall. You remember that, Doug? It looked like a Stegosaurus hybrid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I commented that looked a little bit like my ex-mother-in-law. But yeah.
And I would say it looks like a leading female politician who just testified before Congress.
Almost.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Again, look.
So, but the, these are to be. Yeah, because, please go ahead.
Just let me finish this. And I'll turn it right over.
No. Continue.
Under no circumstances, with the exception of the Palladians, the tall Nordic, you know, they all dress in blue and they all have blonde hair and blue eyes. I've never found that in all the artifacts, in the thousands of artifacts that have not only been presented to us, there's nothing pretty about them. And what's interesting, those of you who are fans of Stargate, we even see creatures, excuse me, my mustache, we even see creatures that are holding staffs with the same kind of head that was on the alien protectors of the little transgendered or the little, alien that at the end you see him. He's not this, I'm looking for a word, androgynous. Alien, and at the end, his androgyny is given way to the alien that's beneath him. Do you remember that in Stargate?
I do, yeah.
It's one of my favorite shows, I mean, of all time, and films. So in essence, what I'm saying about disclosure that's kicking in, the whole official narrative is bogus. It's absolutely a controlled release. And even one of the hackers in England that fortunately they won't allow his extradition broke into the NSA archives and saw cylindrical, clear as day photographs of ships that can cloak. That means spacecraft that can cloak, turn invisible, and then somebody shut him down. And he's on record as talking about, and that's actually a story that the Daily Mail carried, real. And so all the people that have given to me all the images, our Glyph team, 8 different people around the different nations, and for the record, for their safety, I do not know their names. I have one point of contact. They're all believers, and I would never want to compromise accidentally any of them. And I can't. So what is critical is that is that it's a shame that such an important piece of work and the GLIP project, the largest project of its kind, is it's underfunded. And I'm not asking for donations. I need basically people to step in, because what's the future worth, Doug, to the GLIP subscribers? And you are one of them.
Yep.
You guys know what's coming on. And I want to reiterate something. Just in the last 2 weeks, think about this time, from the time Iran, and maybe it's 3 weeks, but in that time period, 500 fallen angel messages have come across the way my team filters it, okay? The way my team identifies it. And I asked a dear friend of mine, this is out of your, I guess I said, it's too woo-woo for you. And he said, yes, it is. And, you know, the thing is that why this is critical is because I'm not trying to distract anybody from Scripture. Some people say, well, what does that have to do? It has to do with warning the people of God that they are going to be seduced by the biggest lie in the world, that God the Father did not create us, but the aliens did. And I'm telling you this, you can look at the most handsome man you know, and I'm not talking about lusting ladies, or look at the most beautiful women you know, and there is nothing the equivalent of the beauty of, I don't think, Eve was like a dog, okay? And I don't believe Adam was an emaciated, what would you say, skinny-jeaned pastor. The point is that these were biologically created in the image and likeness of God. How did Adam have the intelligence to name everything? God gave him instant access to the mind of God. And what we have when we surrender is access to the mind of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're told to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girt with truth. That means we're the ability to bring others to Jesus Christ, to reproduce the character and the nature of God. We're not responsible for that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we are responsible for being faithful. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, listen, I don't know if everybody's the Barefoot Contessa. That's another movie. But it's interesting to me how many people are ill-equipped to give an answer to the faith. You know what happens? I can tell by my email. I won't use any more language. But people don't get it, number one. They don't critically think. Number two, they have no historic perspective. And I'm talking about the majority, okay? Not everyone, but the majority. They don't have a claiming to be Christians. They have no biblical understanding. All of those things, I hold the what I call Ichabodtoriums. Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. Auditoriums, you know, the people that gather and hear, you know, think and grow rich, or, you know, any of the positive attitude stuff. And I'm not taking that on, but I mean, it's some of it's good. But what is not good is that AI, and I want to get right back to that, is destroying critical thinking. I mean, Doug, you're an author, and I've said this. He's a fabulous author because of his – I used to tease him and go, man, I didn't know what copious notes meant until I met you, okay? And that's true. And when we first started together – and look, we have gratitude and an attitude of gratitude because the Lord raised up Doug Hageman. The Lord raised me up. And God, I've said this. I said one time, Lord, why does my choice and friends suck? I'm sorry. Yes, I prayed that. And he said to me, listen to how cool the Lord is. He said, I'll give you better friends than you choose for yourself if you will just trust me. And now I submit every relationship. And for the record, I have cut off all of the phony people in my life, and you'd be surprised how many would say things, I'll die for you because I believe God's in your life, and then they're the ones that want to cut your throat, okay? And again, I want to encourage all of the intercessors to understand, you don't back me up from behind. You don't back Doug up and thank you for your intercessory prayer. You're right alongside of us, and Jesus is in front of all the intercessors. Jesus in front of the mouthpiece, and Jesus is anointing the prayers to bring about the plans he has for our lives. So I want to thank everybody. I want to thank those of you who literally, you know, have funded the ministry that God gave me. By the way, I'm not a pastor. I've never claimed that. I'm not a prophet. Never claimed that. I claim just being a businessman. I never claimed anything other than that. Who do you think you are? No. Who do I know I am? I'm a child of the living God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, repenting of my sin, asking God to touch my mouth with the coals off the altar, because even the prophet, I'm not comparing myself to him, but Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I have to say, move over, Isaiah. I need the fire of the coals off the altar. But we major in minors and we skip the basis. God is love. And I know the fruit of the Spirit. I'm claiming it more. But, brother, my makeup isn't a rollover for meow men. And I mean, I should have done it. I threatened to do it. But some of the anonymous cowards, because I call them meow men, I was going to get whatever, meow mix or, you know, kitty chow or whatever, and send them a can of cat food. And or, you know, tell them to go out and buy a bowl of buy a half a gallon of milk, put it in a bowl, get down on all fours and lap it. OK, I'm not kidding. Listen, kindness is not going to be that what's going to deliver you. Only Jesus. Now, I believe we need to be kind. I believe we need to love one another. But again, when I said the Lord, you know, he said, Steve, if you love me, feed my sheep. He told me that 45 years ago. And I made the statement, God, why do your sheep have saber-toothed tiger fangs? And he said, what makes you think they're my sheep? And so that put me into perspective. And look, we are not to judge people. That means sentence them. But we do have the ability to judge their fruit. It's just like Yellowstone. I want to give a good example. Yellowstone National Park has been my passion for 54 years. The movie I've done presents to everybody the Yellowstone people can't see, because if they stay on the roads, what a frustrating thing that is in summer, or they walk on the geyser pool boardwalks, they see less than 5%. Actually, that's the National Park Service, not me. But the 95% you don't see is so wondrous, so glorious, so absolutely, I call Yellowstone God's palette of creation. And so much goes on there. There is not a planetary scientist. There is not an exobiologist. There are not people who are studying not only astrobiology, but planetary formation. They've got a fancy name for that doesn't come to Yellowstone or doesn't pay attention to the thermophile bacteria. So when you see all these pool colors in Yellowstone above and below, it's mind-blowing, because every color in creation, both additive and subtractive, if you know what, those of you who are artists know what a Mansell color chart is, everything is there in that film. I don't deal with bears. I don't deal with elk. I don't deal with marmots. I don't deal with squirrels, except two-legged ones. I don't cover that stuff. There are 1,000 movies, or maybe that's an exaggeration, but hundreds of movies about Yellowstone. But there's never been a movie like this, because most people aren't as old as I am, thank God, and most people haven't spent 54 years in Yellowstone. I graduated from film school. Well, I actually started photographing Yellowstone, I think, in 1972. And only in the last 4 years have I had the technology and the funding available to do that film. Because when you see the dissolves from, for instance, Porcelain Basin and Norris Geyser Basin, and to the red spot on Jupiter, look, we were bound to 59 minutes. I could have made that film hours and hours, but people would get tired. And so what we did with a split screen introduction, and you played it last week, Doug, for me, thank you, was to give you hundreds of views, hundreds of different scenes, and as fast as all that stuff is going by, and hundreds including what's in the film that aren't in the split screen. And in essence, I want to make this, I got to tell everybody this, the first DVDs you've got, the idiots, and they are idiots, at the company that produced our discs didn't even modulate the sound on them. We threw 1,000 of them away. And then everybody who bought a DVD, we gave an access to an online view-only link, and then we just sent out the new DVD. So throw the old ones away. Nobody's getting double billed for the second DVD. And some people have asked me that. I said, no, throw the first away. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was probably one of the most frustrating things, to basically have DVDs made by the premier DVD company in the United States, but they were honest, they were gracious, and they got them out to me. So if you get two Yellowstone DVDs, number one, you're not being charged twice. Number two, throw the first one away. The second one, and the second one's sound effects and narration are magnificent. The pro narrator, you've heard his voice before. That isn't somebody that, you know, gets on AI and for $100. That guy was really expensive, but really good. So in all that I have done, by the grace of God, I believe we don't give God second best. We give him first best. And when I'm trying to present to the people the majesty of God's creation, the uniqueness of every process in Yellowstone Park is taking place on, for instance, Jupiter or Enceladus, or some of the moons of Saturn and the moons of Jupiter, and then the Eye of God, which is called the Helix Nebula. All you astronomers should know what that is. It looks exactly like Grand Prismatic Geyser Pool. That's the most recognizable Yellowstone feature, even from space. So what is so amazing is just today, the British bleeping press put out, is Yellowstone going to blow? The super volcano. I don't know if you saw that. I put it up and I said with a note on my side, this is bogus. I should have been more blunt, because Norris Geyser Basin, and I say this in the film, is my go-to place first. Norris Geyser Basin, which is in the northern, pretty central part of the park, actually more northeast, because that's where the magma is closest to the surface. And so I find it interesting, Doug, people you know and I know who are scientists who've never been there, have opinions on it. And look, it's more than a seismic signature. I'll make it simple. The magma chambers beneath Yellowstone are moving to the west and to the north. They're filling the magma chambers in the Cascadia subduction zone, the 11 volcanoes there. And forgive me, everyone, but you need to understand that film, Cascadia, that was probably one of the most prophetic. And we had some of the most famous geologists saying, when people think of supervolcanoes, they think of Yellowstone. Wrong. The problem is Cascadia. And so now we've got all these events taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll make it clear, California will dry up. Arizona is the number one problem state because of how many people are moving in there. Nevada will have power cut off, and all the beautiful fountains at the Bellagio and other places, those will be empty, because most people don't understand. There is the lowest pipeline in Lake Mead that feeds Nevada, specifically Las Vegas, water, okay? At the expense of every place else. I don't think happy campers or happy slurpers are going to appreciate that when they have no water. So what I been able to do is give people plenty of warning of where we're at as a nation, both spiritually and physically. And I'm telling you, drought and famine are in our future. The manipulation of the food that's been taken from the growers and the producers and the canners is all used for the military venture that's going to be taking place in the Middle East and other places. But they're not going to have a chance. I know weapon systems. I've been briefed by some of the guys who designed some of this stuff, and there is nothing the U.S. has that can counter anti-ship hypersonic missiles. There is nothing that we have that can even match the megatonnage of a Poseidon nuclear torpedo drone. And I've heard recent comments by people in this, the Defense Department, and even people that are feeding President Trump non-existent information. They make it seem like that doesn't exist. Well, really? I can bring you to stories in the British press that they were terrified that the Poseidons were off the east and west coast of the British Isles. 100 megaton nuclear torpedo. They're actually more of a drone. They can lie dormant. You can't find them until they blow. That one would cover probably one-third of England and put it underwater. Underwater, everyone. Underwater. So I think it's interesting that as we're talking tonight, Doug, we have some of the most double-crossing, and I'm telling you this, NATO's double-crossing the United States. NATO will cease to exist. NATO is coming apart at the seams, and I said that years ago, and it's coming to pass because you cannot lie and say, oh, we're not going to put nuclear weapons into Ukraine and put them into the Ukraine, okay? You can't do it. And so Starmer is basically in big trouble. The smoke signals are up in the air. Not that he could read them, but they're going off. And what is problematic is this. The United States, Victoria Nuland and others, and NATO people, and then Lady Graham, Lindsey Graham, the reason why he's called that is due to his sexual proclivities. Okay, everybody knows it. So he's one of the loudest voices to blow up Russia. I'll tell you this, the measure of strength is not in a word that is just repeated over and over. The vilification, I'm surprised that President Trump doesn't realize this, the 13th protocol of, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, Hillary Clinton's master thesis, I believe, was on that.
Correct.
Basically says attack the target. And yet the same thing that was done to Donald Trump has been done to President Putin. And he's the guy that everybody should thank for the gold price. He's the guy that everybody should thank for protecting the sanctity of biological correct men and women. He's the guy that people should thank for setting just measures. And now in the silver market, the gold market, and the commodities market, the entire facade of the manipulation is breaking down. When you see gold and silver go down like they have, remember this. It's the powers that be in the Western sovereign banking world and Eastern that will sell silver short that they don't even possess. Selling silver short means they'll sell paper silver and they'll move it down, let's say $10, $15 an ounce. And then they'll come in after they've driven the price down and buy all they can get that's available. You will see very soon, I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, when there's no silver available. There'll be a time when there'll be no gold available. And so the purpose of driving down the gold market, according to the people I know in that world in the Far East, is to get weak hands to give up their gold, sell it at the lowest point, and then buy it at the lowest point. And when the people who have sold it at the lowest point, which I'm telling everybody, don't sell your gold or silver now, wait. And why say wait? Because what will you do when the entire world repudiates the U.S. dollar? And this is something, Doug, I don't know how to make it any clearer, is that the entire Arab world will not take U.S. dollars, T-bills, T-bonds, or treasury notes. Nation after nation is selling them at a discount. I believe at one point China was selling close to $1 trillion at 20%, at an 80% discount, or even a 90% discount. In other words, 10 cents on the dollar. Japan is unloading $1 trillion worth of their holdings in treasury bills, notes, and bonds. And everybody, China, they unloaded and they had, I think, $2 trillion, and they want to come to the point where it's a zero sum possession, because China is the only nation that has kept the true amount of their tonnage of gold. And I tell people, if you don't understand the history of China, you won't understand how much gold the dynasties have passed forward into their future generation. China takes a long-term view. The United States has what I would call a ticker view. What they live by ticks, and not by their hearts, but by every candlestick, every movement of the chart, up or down. But they don't understand the concept. The concept is simply this. You've got demand exceeding production. You've got demand exceeding availability, especially in gold. And the time comes, and is already here, where we have pissed on all of our, sorry, that's a good word. It's, we have pissed on all of our former, what would you say, allies, including Japan. And we have absolutely thrown the whole world to the wolves, including our former friends in the Middle East, our former friends in Western Europe. I'm not talking about the pariahs or the bloodsuckers. I'm talking about real. And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, at one point in history, the Shah of Iran was one of America's most stalwart allegiances and relationship. Nobody was stronger than him. And this is something I try and get across to people, Doug. The Shah, when he was in favor, sent the smartest scientists in Iran to the United States. They went to Los Alamos. They went to White Sands. They went to every place that had atomic technology. They went to place of engineering. They are very smart people. Unfortunately, the United States has dumbed down, and now we're paying the price. We don't have time, by executive order, just sign a thing and say, I want 50 Patriots a week missiles. I want. You can't do it with an executive order, because the raw materials, because of your tariffs, don't exist. I'm told there are over 100 F-35s sitting in some runway somewhere that can't even fly because they don't have the critical rare earths to finish specific aspects of their controls and of their instrumentation, because we basically put what I call the terrible tariffs on China, on Russia. Look, fertilizer, the majority came from Russia, okay? The majority of so many of our critical materials, including, remember, Hillary Clinton gave to Russia the ability to refine our uranium. We don't have any internal refining of uranium. When you hear we're going to have big new nuclear weapons, I have yet to see anybody talk about 5 megaton nuclear warheads that the U.S. possesses. Guess what? We don't possess them. Guess what? We don't have the uranium and the centrifuges to put, you know, and to refine into U-238, uranium-238 isotope. We can't produce plutonium because we don't have the skills and abilities. And when Elon Musk fired all the DOE people, Department of Energy, they won't come back. And I'm told that to teach people to work on nuclear weapons is an ongoing four-year process. So, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have the physical ability. We don't have the intellectual ability, and we don't have the trained technicians that do it. Now, which wire do I cut? The red one, the blue one, or the green one? I say cut them all and watch what happens. You know, I'm serious, because that's about the level of stupidity. Go ahead, Doug.
You know, you raise a lot of interesting points from China, from precious metals, gold and silver, and the Iranian scientists for the nuclear programs during the tenure of the Shah of Iran. It's interesting when you start connecting some dots, and we, if you would throw it just a just really all of the puzzle pieces on onto a tabletop, and if those puzzle pieces represented events in time and very hinge moments in time, you know, advance to what folks, what you've heard of or heard about over the past decade plus. Hillary Clinton, Uranium One, the gold and silver, well, precious metals manipulation, the Chinese, the Chinese hoarding, if you will, of gold, silver, precious metals, and then toss in Hunter Biden. Okay, and you might say, well, how does that relate? The all of the transactions that were exposed by his laptop tell a story of its own. And the reason I bring this up in that fashion is, again, to the average person out there, they may sound like they're unrelated to one another. But when you, as Steve has done pretty consistently, when you draw the lens out, look at the wider picture, the bigger view, you can see a process of criminality rooted in spiritual corruption and bankruptcy. Okay. Which brings us to today and all of this, understanding the historical importance of these various events, planned or maybe by happenstance, but I would say most of it planned, brings us to a critical point in time that Steve's been talking about for and consistently talking about since, well, ever since I've known them. And here we are today in this cluster flux of a situation. And I think, Steve, I think you laid it out pretty well. And again, you know, when you look at all of these hinge moments, these important points in time, which will lead, you know, the book of Revelation, how could possibly how fertile would the ground be for Christians to be deceived by an Antichrist figure? We're there. Okay. Especially with the, as you mentioned, the currency, the debasement, and then obviously the creation of input of AI, and then the creation of a digital bank currency because it's fraudulent. It's kind of like the Fed, digitized Fed. But that would necessitate everyone to capitulate to a system where they could not buy or sell unless they signed on to the mark of the beast, which lays the groundwork for the Antichrist. So again, maybe that seems like a lot of disparate, separate events, but when you start to contemplate this and combine that with Steve's intellectual products. This is not a sales pitch. This is just a matter of fact. When you begin to delve deeper into topics, again, Empire Beneath the Ice, all of his books. And, well, how does that relate to, for example, anything else that Steve might have mentioned? Well, again, on a long enough timeline, I think you'll see how everything is connecting and setting the stage for the set the stage for the current cluster flux. And what happens next? I believe what happens next is perhaps more important than what's happening right now. But Steve, I think you mapped out real well. But continue, sir. Go ahead.
Well, you know, thank you, Doug. And again, here's the thing. I want to reiterate, I'm being told, I don't have a time frame, that once certain events happen, all, A-L-L, that doesn't mean, you know, maybe they'll give some, you know, left-wing transgender podcaster, but those who are conservative and those who are known to have told the truth and the conspiracy theory, all of the people that have said, quote, you're a fear-monger, truth-teller, You're trying to teach me fear. Fear is your problem, not my problem. Perfect love, Jesus, casts out fear. But King David, after the victory of Goliath and all the people he fought against and David's mighty men, here's what David said. At the time I am afraid, I trust in thee, O Lord. I pray that a lot. And again, why it's